following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Mark your Bible, if you would, in Luke chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 1 in opposite order. And you might want to put a marker in Hebrews chapter 2 as well. But I'm going to turn in a minute to Isaiah 9 and just read something to you from there, because when I got up this morning, the Los Angeles Times was on my driveway. How many of you subscribe to, or maybe no, not subscribe to, how many of you got up this morning and you had a free copy of the Los Angeles Times that you hadn't ordered? Anybody but me? Yeah, it was out there. I thought, well, how nice of the Los Angeles Times to give me their Christmas edition of the LA Times. And so I started looking for Christmas in the LA Times. And it's not on page one. It wasn't on the front page. It wasn't on the front of the California page. It wasn't on the front of the sports page. I didn't find any Christmas till I came to the JCPenney ad. That's the only place I found it mentioned so far. So I want to take you to not the LA Times news, but to the good news. Would you listen to this? Would you stand with me? I'm going to read to you from Isaiah chapter 9. You know this verse. We'll probably look at it again this evening. I'm just going to read from it today. I'm not going to teach from it so much, but listen. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Father, thank you that in your passion to bring salvation, you gave your son. And so, Father, we turn our attention as the whole world, almost the whole world does. At least they recognize this as a very, very important date and moment, Lord. As again, almost 2,000 years in a row, we have celebrated the arrival of Jesus. And so today, Father, I pray this would be more than just another warm moment, but something that instructs us and steadies us and even challenges us to draw closer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a seat, please. Well, I have a gift for you today. I'm going to wait till the end of the service to give it to you. But our whole series through December has been this. The Lord has come. Joy, say it with me. Joy to the world. Why? Because the Lord has come. Because he's with us. My message this morning is be not afraid. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 1, as I said, and Luke chapter 1, and a little bit of chapter 2 as well. But it's Christmas. So I have a gift for you, but you have to wait until the end of the, so don't leave, okay? Don't leave or you don't get it, okay? So, but you got to wait till the end of the service. But first I've got something to say. Are you surprised? Of course I have something to say. It's one of the core statements, not just of the Christmas story. It's one of the most often repeated messages throughout the Bible, from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. And it's that word or that phrase, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Why did I say it four times? Well, because there's four times I want to look at it in the context of the Advent story, the coming of Jesus Christ. God and angels say it a lot all the way through the Bible. God said it to Abraham when he was calling him out of his old life into a new life and a new pathway on which to walk, out of deep darkness in the Ur of the Chaldees, to walk on a path that he would light up for him. And he had to tell him, of course he had to tell him, don't be afraid. Fear not, Abraham, as I move you from here to there. God said it to Rachel as she gave birth to Benjamin, Jacob's last son from her. And the Bible says it this way, as her soul was departing, you know what that means? She died in childbirth. And yet God said to her, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what? Don't be afraid of what comes next, Rachel. This is not the end for you. To Isaac, he said it when Isaac was fighting for his life, trying to find safe water holes for his people. He got chased away from this one, refused entry at this one. And if you don't have water, not just in that day, but in this day, it's the end of your life. And so God said to Isaac, don't be afraid. I've got the well thing covered. I've got it covered well for you. Just trust me. Follow me. He said it to Hagar, a woman that had been rejected, the rejected handmaid of Sarah, and who now was looking into a very, very frightening and uncertain future. He says, don't be afraid. Fear not, Hagar. God said it to, and I love this one. This is one of my favorites. When God says it almost seven times in a row, you think I repeat myself too much sometimes? Seven times in a row, God said it to the children of Israel as he moved them from the wilderness into the promised land. You find it at the end of Deuteronomy where God tells them there will be seven. Everybody hold up seven fingers in whatever combination you want to. I don't care. Seven nations, God said, in that land where I'm taking you who are bigger than you and they're tougher than you. Well, thanks, God. Let's go somewhere else. But he said, no, I want you to. And here's what he said. Fear not, fear not. Fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. Seven times he said it because of those seven nations, one time for every one of the seven nations. Did you know that apparently, and I've never counted it up myself, I'm just going on the authority, that can be dangerous, of those who said they counted it, that there's 365 different ways in the scripture that God says, don't be afraid. 300 and what? How many days are there in a year? One for every day of the year. He said, don't be afraid today. Don't be afraid tomorrow. Don't be afraid. He said, fear not, over and over and over again. God said it to Moses and Joshua and David and Paul. Jesus said it like this to his disciples. He said, fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom as they walk through dangerous times where they were sometimes loved and sometimes hated, sometimes embraced and sometimes rejected. That's your life too. And God says, don't be afraid. I have a kingdom to give you. You might lose a little chunk of something here and there, but I have a kingdom that I've invited you to. So he says, stop trembling. Do not be afraid. David said it to his son Solomon in 1 Chronicles. And I love the way that David said this to Solomon as he was growing. He wasn't all that he was supposed to be yet. I don't know if he ever was all that he was supposed to be. Everybody realized Solomon had some dysfunction in his life. Yeah, he couldn't say no to a pretty lady, and so he had way, way, way too many of them in his life. But here's what God said to Solomon through David. He said, fear not, don't be dismayed, for the Lord God, and Dad said this, the Lord God, my God. My God, Solomon, he's with you, and he will be with you. He'll walk with you through this. Well, then came Christmas, and this phrase is repeated over and over and over again. At a time when there was a lot to be afraid of, lots of people were afraid of poverty. And some of them lived long enough to experience that greatest fear. There were some of the poorest people in the world in those days. There were people that were afraid of their government. That sounds rather current, doesn't it? There were people that were afraid of the government of Rome oppressing them even further, making life harder than they already had. And there were those who were afraid of their religious leaders, and for good reason. Religious leaders seem to have a habit of making life and even life with God more complicated than it's supposed to be. We're invited into a relationship with a God who humbled himself and became a man. That's what Christmas says to us. God came here. So then Christmas comes, and there's reason that God has to say through the angels over and over and over again, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I want to show them to you. First one is in Matthew chapter 1, though chronologically, it's not where it starts. It's just the first one to find is in Matthew chapter 1, and it's to this guy, Joseph. He says, do not be afraid, Joseph. Would you turn there with me, please? In Matthew chapter 1, here's the beginning of it, and it says in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. In other words, it happened like this. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Pause there for a second. You know, the Gospel of Matthew says nothing about the birth of Jesus. Luke does. And John even goes deeper into the real identity of who Jesus was by telling us he was the Word, God that became flesh among us. But this is about all you get of the Mary story here in the Gospel of Matthew. She was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded or determined to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, thank God for that pause, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The first one, on record anyway, in the gospel record, is Matthew, where Joseph hears the angel say, don't be afraid, Joseph. Turn over to Luke chapter 1. And I know we've talked about these guys before on our first week together, but not on this angle. In Luke chapter 1, over at verse 13. Zechariah, a priest, and we talked about him at the beginning of December. He's there in the temple. He's minding his own business, which was the business of being a priest and offering up prayers for the people. And it said, look at verse 11, actually. It says, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. You ever have fear fall upon you? You know that feeling you get somewhere between your throat and your gut? And sometimes some of your systems start to sort of quiver inside you, and you feel like you're falling apart. That's how he felt. He was trembling and fear just gripped him. And the angel said to him, if you have it, read it with me, verse 13. Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. He said, John, don't be afraid. And then he goes on to explain, you're a part of this amazing time in history. Your son gets to be the one that blows the trumpet announcing that the Messiah, the Christ, has come among us. God wrapping himself up humbly in human flesh. And your boy gets to tell that story. He gets to call people to turn from the darkness, stop walking on paths that lead from dark to darker to darker, and start walking in the light to glorify God. He got to be a part of it, but what does he start with? Don't be afraid, Zacharias. Your prayer is heard. We talked about this 3 weeks ago. It wasn't the prayer that, you know, just the prayer that you're going to have a son. He was glad for that, but your prayer for Messiah, it's answered, and he has come. Look over at chapter 1 there in Luke. Look at verse 30. And it says, the angel said to her, and the her is Mary, do not be afraid, Mary. For you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Verse 32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He says, Mary and Joseph and Zechariah, don't be afraid. I think there's something in that announcement from the angel that is the core message that begins with Christmas. Don't be afraid any longer. He says, Mary, don't be afraid. God's doing this thing and you won't understand it. And of course, there's mystery involved in it when God does anything. But don't be afraid, Mary. You can put fear behind you now. Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. But my favorite of all is chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. Because you know why? Because I know some of these guys. These are the shepherds. And I know one of them, his name is Josiah. Maybe you've met Josiah, the shepherd who travels around in a robe from time to time. I love telling that story, that imagined story of one of those shepherds that saw the angels that night and were scared to death. I just don't think the Bible gives us all the description that it could about how afraid these people were. And I want to talk to you tonight, by the way, in our Christmas Eve service, very, very briefly, about this music. We call it music. We don't know. It doesn't say the angels sang. It just said they rejoiced. And I don't think it was, okay, choirs, all stand in a line, wings down to your side, please. Hey, stop poking the guy in the back. Stop scratching yourself, angel. It wasn't like that. These guys showed up to celebrate something. And I don't think it was what we would call the typical, classical, dignified choir. I've posted some stuff online about that. I think it was like fist bumping, wing flapping, rejoicing among these angels as they said, it's finally happening, Gabriel, Michael, look, it's happening among us. And they showed up to give God just this loud, loud praise. But I'm getting into tonight. I need not do that. In chapter 2, in verse 8, it says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel, you could say the scary angel, said to them, oh, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. What great news. So the angel says, fear not. And fear not, and fear not, and fear not. But there's one last character, and still here in Luke chapter 2, that I want you to take a look with me at very, very quickly. Over at verse 25, I want you to look at Simeon. Where Simeon, this, and we say he's an old man. The Bible doesn't say anywhere he was an old man. It's just that he had a promise that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Christ. So listen to this. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25, it says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just, that means he was a good man, and devout, faithful, that means, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Let me pause there. Let me ask you, how would you live if you knew you couldn't die? How careful would you be when you're off-roading if you knew, I'm not going to die. I can do anything I want. How far out would you paddle into the ocean knowing there's great whites out there if you know they're not going to get me? Maybe more personal. How would you change your diet if you knew you could eat anything you wanted? How many of you have removed deep-fried stuff from your diet? Come on, admit it. It's back on the menu, right? Bring it back. Bring me the double deep-fried butter and just bring it. Pile it on. I just want to try it. The first thing I would do if I knew I couldn't die and I could eat anything I want, I would go right back down Beach Boulevard to Slater's 50-50 burger, and I'd start eating burgers again. I'm not allowed to eat burgers any longer. But if I knew that I could live, that nothing was going to happen to me, I wonder if I get a little less cautious. I'm not saying he did. I just wonder how he lived knowing that he had this amazing promise. And so verse 27 says, so he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God, saying, read with me in verse 29, now, Lord, you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. He says, now I can die in peace. Did you hear him? He said, now I can die in peace. Because I've seen him. Because I've seen Jesus. Took him up in his arms. He'd embraced Jesus, really. Oh, I know, he's just a baby. But he got it. He looked at the child and he realized that is the hope of the world right there. And no, he probably didn't live to see the crucifixion and hear of the resurrection from the earthbound side of his life. But he knew when he looked at that baby that that was the answer for all mankind. He said, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. That's us, most of us here. Can I see the hands of all the Gentiles in the room? Okay, I'm not trying to out anybody, but we're all Gentiles here, right? Problem? No, I'm sure there are Jewish people in our midst too, but this was going to go over the boundaries of Judaism. This was for all people, and here's a Jewish man that understood that in his day. You prepared in the face of all the people a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. You know what he means when he says the glory of your people Israel? He's saying this is the greatest thing that's ever happened in the nation of Israel. The birth of this Savior, who's who is for the whole world. Now, there's something there in Simeon. So here's what we've collected. Fear not Joseph, fear not Zacharias, fear not Mary, fear not shepherds, fear not Simeon, and fear not you and me. And I want to tell you how that ties in, especially to the message there for Simeon. And to me, it's just such a beautiful and profound thing. Maybe Simeon's word reveals something that proves that this was for all of us because of the condition that that man, I'm convinced, suffered with. Fear. The fear even of death. It's the greatest fear known to mankind. Is that fear of death? What happens when I die? I know I'm going to die. Has anybody reminded you of that recently? Can I mess up your Sunday morning and just tell you that? You're going to die. Your days here are going to come to an end, and then begins eternity, forever. You will be somewhere forever. I remember as a child, I've told you this story before. I won't embellish it at all. I won't even tell you the whole version of it. But as a child, I was scared to death of death. I was. I remember laying awake at night, not wanting to go to sleep, afraid that if I closed my eyes, I wouldn't wake up the next morning. Fear, just a trembling fear of death as a junior high kid. And that stayed with me. See, there's something I believe that when God somehow revealed through the Holy Spirit to Simeon, Simeon, you're going to live to see the Christ, and then it will be safe for you to die. You won't have to be afraid of death anymore. It's so profound that Simeon said, now I can die in peace, not in fear. I don't have to tremble my way to the grave, however much longer he lived. He said, it is safe for me now to die because I've seen the Christ. I want to read something to you that I posted I will be posting tomorrow on the 25th installment of what I've been calling the Advent Adventure. I'm putting it up on Instagram. I think it's going to Facebook as well. But anyway, let me read it to you here. I gave this one the title, Scary Christmas or Merry Christmas? Isn't that clever? Don't you proud of me? It's the same passage that we just read in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, where with the angels appearing to the shepherds and them getting just terrified. And then I said this. This was Mary's first baby. Her others, Jude, James, Joseph, and Simon, and their unnamed sisters, were not bedded down in feeding troughs. It's also safe to assume angels weren't delivering messages about their births. But with Jesus' approach and his arrival, the recurring message to everyone involved in the drama was, don't be afraid. Of course, the message was first intended to calm the senses of those who were terrified at their encounter with one of God's heavenly soldiers, an angel or a multitude of the heavenly host. But don't be afraid also addresses mankind's natural response to the unknown, the unwanted, unplanned, disorienting events of life that we all face from the manger to the grave. Fear freezes us. Fear rules too many hearts. Fear wrecks too many lives. Fear keeps us awake at night and it causes us to make wrong decisions. It moves us in wrong directions. Fear convinces us to stay put rather than to move forward. Fear robs us of our sleep. Fear ignites panic where there should be peace. It keeps us from trusting God. And fear makes us forget the promises of God. But Mary's baby, God's son, came to replace fear with hope and love and his perfect peace. So this Christmas, may your heart be drained of fear and filled with God's love, his overflowing hope, and his perfect peace that surpasses understanding. How is it possible? Because as the angel said, I bring good news. The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today. And so I wish for you not a scary Christmas, but a very merry Christmas. Fear is not our friend, except for the fear of God. The only fear that is our friend is the healthy fear of God. And when I say that, I always want to explain it because there's somebody here who hasn't heard me say this before. The fear of God is not the trembling fear that keeps us from drawing close to him. If that's the fear of God you have, you need to trade in that fear for just the reverent, worship of a God who is holy. He is awesome. And yes, we do deserve judgment. Every one of us in this room, if we knew enough about one another, we would pass judgment on one another. But God looks at us, knows what we've done, and he says, I love you enough to send my son. Listen, for whom I will judge because of your sin, so you can be free of the penalty of your sin. That's a great deal. I don't know if you've cashed in on that deal, but that's the best deal you'll ever get. God is willing to forgive your sin and put your past behind you and pick you up off of that road, that path that leads from dark to darker, and put you on a path that leads from the light right into the perfect light of his presence in heaven forever. One day, you'll die, and God wants you in heaven with him forever. So you don't have to be afraid. Why? Well, because the Son of God has come. Because today was born to us a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And that's why the Bible is filled with the repeated encouragement to fear not. Don't be afraid. Calm down. Peace. Be still. Shalom. Shalom. Perfect peace to you. God has always wanted to make peace with mankind. Look at this verse. Scripture says this. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. That's where he wants us to live. That's where God wants all of us to camp, right there in the place of his peace. Now, I want to read to you a few verses. They're going to be up on the screen, and I would hope that you would read them with me. They're so simple. All the words are there, 6-inch tall letters. You can see them clearly on any of the screens. So would you please read with me some of the most powerful promises about God's presence and his offer of peace to you and me. It's in Isaiah 41, and three of them come from Isaiah 41. You're going to be stunned the way God repeats himself over and over. Let's read together. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Did you see that phrase? I will help you. Doesn't this sound light? Hey, I'll help you out. I'll help you move that dresser. I'll help you move that piano. No, I won't help you move your piano, but I'll find someone that will. But I'll help you do that. I'll help you with your homework. God is saying, I will help you. I'll hold you up with my righteous right hand. Three verses later, listen to God repeat himself. Let's read. I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand. What does that sound like? Here we are at the corner. We're at the curb. And mom or dad says, buddy, come on, give me your hand. I'll walk you across the dangerous street. I see the parental side of God there. I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, keep reading, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. God is ready to help you, walk with you through whatever it might be. One verse later, let's read, fear not, you worm, Jacob. Does that sound just a little bit rude to call Jacob a worm? Well, he was kind of wormy at a time in his life, and it looks back to that. Fear not, you worm, Jacob, you men of Israel. Let's read, I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. He said, I'm with you. I will help you. Now this one, three verses. Let's read together. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Somebody here today needed to hear that. When you walk through the waters, the floods, when you go through the frightening rivers, when those fiery trials hit you, he said, I will not forsake you. I'll walk right through the midst of it. The hottest time, the most violent of those waters, I will be with you. Don't you dare think that God will abandon you in the hardest times of your life. He'll walk with you. His voice might not seem the loudest, but like somebody said, the teacher is always quiet during the test. And as you walk with him through the tests of life, he's with you in the middle of that. He will not abandon you. We all need all the help we can get, don't we? Amen? Amen. Let me read you from Hebrews, and then I'm going to give you your gift. Say, oh boy, we get a gift. Here we go. Okay, Hebrews chapter 2, down at verse 14, it says this, inasmuch then as the children, that's us, have partaken of flesh and blood, that's what we are, We live in frail bodies. He himself, this is speaking of Jesus, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might deliver him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were, read with me, all their lifetime subject to bondage. And he says, indeed, he doesn't give aid to angels. Angels don't need his help in that way. But he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Oh, Bill, that's for the Jews only. You know, Paul said in Romans, and the writer here also says the same thing, really, that all those who believe in Christ, they are the sons of Abraham. They're the sons and the daughters of faith. He gives aid. He helps all those who are his children. How many of you have trusted him? Let me see the hands of those who said, man, am I glad I trusted Jesus. And I'm going to continue to trust him. I trusted him to save me. I will trust him to keep me. Now, God never wastes his words. That's why I believe that Simeon, when he said, can you almost hear that man? Maybe he is an old man, but can you almost hear him breathe a sigh of relief that day when he was just up on the temple mountain doing his thing, doing what he did. And he stops in his tracks when he sees Mary and Joseph and Yeshua, Jesus, walking across the courtyard there. And somehow, the Holy Spirit that told him, you're safe, that same Holy Spirit said, that's the one. He walks over and he embraces that child. And I can hear the sigh coming from that man's throat as he says, now it's safe for me to die. I can die in peace. No more fear of death. I'm convinced that that man had been gripped like I was as a child at the thought of death. Maybe he'd walked across the Kidron Valley to too many funerals on the Mount of Olives and trembled at the thought that one day his life would end and then what? But he says here, now I can die in peace. God never wastes his words. It needed to be said to him. Just like God needed to say to Saul as he lay trembling, trying to get to sleep one night in Corinth. He said, don't be afraid, Paul. Don't be afraid here. You're not going to get hurt here. You know why God said that? It's because Paul was afraid he'd get beat up again. And so God said, not here. Anybody surprised he stayed there for a year and a half? He had the promise that he wouldn't get hurt there. He didn't say you'll never get hurt again. He said you'll never get hurt here. Well, I kind of like it here then, if it's safe here. God says to you, you don't have to fear. And he's not wasting his words when he says it 365 times. So you can repeat it every single day. He says to Simeon, let me help you with that fear. And then he basically says this. Let me help you overcome that fear. Go take a look at Jesus. And he says, now that I've seen him, now that he'd embraced him, now that I see Jesus for who he is, peace, peace. So let me say this to you in closing before I give you your gift. If you're still afraid of death, if you're still living your life in bondage to fear, then I need to say this to you, and I want to say it as kindly as I can. You've lost sight of Jesus. If you're trembling at the thought of death, or if you're afraid of what you're walking through right now, you've lost sight of Jesus. And you need to fix your eyes on him again. That's why the writer of the epistle says this, put your eyes on Jesus. And don't get your eyes off of him. Because you'll find peace right there. Put your eyes, don't lose sight of Jesus. He kills fear. He replaces fear with peace. Don't you want that peace? Don't you want to be done with the phobias and with the fears? And find the peace that he gives. The message of Christmas was simplified by Gabriel and the angels who accompanied him as they said, fear not, fear not, fear not. Oh, and then they said, let's glorify God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men. Fear not. The greatest point of the Christmas impact is right here, where Jesus' peace, which comes from knowing him, destroys every fear, not just our greatest fear, but all of our fears. So we get up every day and say, Jesus, I'm putting my eyes on you. I'm going to put my eyes on you as I read your story. I'm going to walk with you. And in the midst of the fear that I'm faced with, I'm going to look over the fear and look to you. Look through the fear and look to you. I'll look around whatever frightens me and I'll look to you. And I'll find your peace. Because the manger was followed by a cross.
Oh, Bill, you always do that on Christmas. You remind us of Easter. We'll get to Easter.
You know, I think we've said this, but the manger, as beautiful a scene as it was, I won't say it's meaningless, but it doesn't mean nearly what it means without the cross on the other side. That's where the blood was shed to make us clean. That's what that child came to do. And he gave and he gave and he gave all the way to the very end where he gave his life for you. And today as I close and the band comes back out, I want to say to you, if you're ready to stop living in that fear and you're ready to say, Jesus, forgive my sins, stop making excuses for them. And you say, God, you're right. I know what right and wrong is, and I convinced myself that wrong was right. So please pick me up off this dark path and put me on your path that leads from the light into the brightness of heaven. And tell him today, God, I'm ready to surrender my life to you. I want to live the rest of my life for you in gratitude for what you did for me. Jesus' first words to his gathered disciples when he found them trembling in that upper room was, don't be afraid. I love that. So many things he could have said. He said, calm down, guys. Peace. Peace to you. Conquer that frightening and immobilizing fear with simple faith. Simple faith. Now, you ready for your gift? I'm going to give you the most valuable gift that anybody could give you. I'm done. That's my gift. I'm giving you the gift of time, okay? A little more time than I usually give you, at least 10 more minutes than I usually give you. So use it any way you want. Hang out, have some coffee, go shopping. I know you got a lot more shopping to do probably, but linger a while. Maybe tonight, take some time, light a candle or two and sit down together and open up your Bible and read this story again. And certainly tomorrow when you gather with your family, focus on this and don't be afraid. Fear not, because God has a kingdom to give you. It's all wrapped up in his son, Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father in heaven, I thank you for the gift that we kind of unwrap here every year, year after year after year. This story that comes alive and is so much more than a story, but history, that you've invited us to walk into a life with you. So, Father, I pray for anybody here that has never just surrendered to you, has never even said, thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sins. Would this be the day, Father, where they open their heart and trust you and step into life and forgiveness and salvation in the name of Jesus, the Christ, the Lord, who was born that day in Bethlehem. Thank you for the manger. Thank you, Father, for the cross. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together. Is there anybody here that would say, man, I want to get started, but I'm not really sure I know how to do that? You just pray. You just talk to God. You say, God, please forgive me and receive me and make me one of your children. If you need help doing that, either talk to the Christian you came with or come on down front. We have some prayer team members down here that would love to pray with you and introduce you to your best friend, your Savior, your Lord Jesus. We're going to sing one of my favorite Christmas songs, and we're going to go for it. Amen? Fear not. Fear not. Let's sing.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.